Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe, and I'm usually joined by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach is on assignment. We've sent him down to North Carolina. He's going to be previewing all the North Carolina Division I basketball teams next week. I'm just kidding. He is en route to a wedding and will not be on the show today, but seeing how he knows nothing about football, this might be a good week for him not to be here, because we're going to be previewing Indiana High School football sectionals today. We're also going to be basically highlighting the southern part of the state. We've got WBDC play-by-play man for the Southridge Raiders and sports director of DC Broadcasting, Kurt Gooksell, on to preview the Southridge Sullivan game. We've got Steve Cole from WAXL on to preview the Vincennes versus Heritage Hills matchup, which should be a great game tonight. And then we've also got Craig Schneider from WJTS will be on to preview the Jasper versus Silver Creek matchup. Three great games. I think that, Steve Cole will probably see the best of the three, but nonetheless, it's going to be a fun night, and excited to see the Jasper Wildcats take on the Silver Creek Dragons. They've never played them in football, and Silver Creek sits at 4-4 on the year. So it should be a fun game to watch, a new experience to watch. Playing a new team is always neat. But before we get on to high school football, let's touch on college football a little bit. Last week, all three Indiana teams, Notre Dame, Purdue, and Indiana, all went down to defeat. Notre Dame on a controversial pick call, which I know a lot of the Notre Dame Irish people are still mad about, but you see them all the time. It is a rule, but it got called. But at the same time, you see the picks all the time and they're not called. But that doesn't excuse you from doing it. And they were called, and Florida State came out victorious against them. Purdue leading most of the game. Looks like they're in great position to win the game. But then what do? They stop them on third down. They're going to have to punt. Purdue can maybe run the clock out if they get a couple first downs. But instead, a player on the opposite side of the field decides that he has to show that he's a tough guy. Personal foul, first down Minnesota. They kick the game-winning field goal, and Purdue comes out in defeat. IU had a little tougher situation. I know a lot of people on the internet this week were complaining a little bit about Xander's Diamond performance, but let's come on. A true freshman in his first game ever, not ready. They were planning on redshirting him, and here he is playing against Michigan State. I think that I personally, being a Boilermaker homer that you know that I am, I think the Hoosiers need to stay the course. I think that Xander is going to be a nice quarterback before it's all said and done. But last Saturday, it just wasn't to be. Let's touch real quick on Major League Baseball, seeing how I'm such a humongous fan, not of the playoffs. If the Yankees aren't in it, I really don't care. But the Royals and the Giants tied at 1-1. The Giants were very dominant the first night. You wondered if they were just going to flex their muscles and the game be over or the series be over in four games. But, the Royals came back to tie it up 1-1. Now, we talked about that it is Football Friday, and you know that I'm always dead. And I was on the John Harrell website this morning, and they actually have, based off of ratings, sectional draw, and home field advantage, who the champion of each sectional is going to be. And I wanted to kind of go over this, the Southern Indiana sectional. In Class 5A, he has Terre Haute South as a 49% chance of winning sectional, with Terre Haute North having a 28% chance. Now, for those of us that follow football, that's quite a trend that's not happened. The Terre Haute teams have been the doormats for quite a while, but this year they're two of the top teams in 5A. In 4A, the Evansville Wrights Panthers, he gives a 63% chance of winning sectional, and he gives my Jasper Wildcats only a 30.5% chance of winning the sectional this year. You know my opinion of that. I think Jasper 100%, but then again, I've been known as a Jasper homer by Coach K and other people, but that's just the way it is, 100% chance in the Joe Milligan region. In Class 3A, Sectional 32, Gibson Southern has been giving a 50.8% chance of winning sectional this year, with Heritage Hills being given a 26.4% chance. Now, the only reason I'm only giving the top two is he doesn't list the other teams that are in the sectional and their percentages of winning the sectional. In Class 2A, we have Evansville Modern Day, who sits at number one in Class 2A with a 76.1% chance. His second choice is North Posey with an 8.7% chance. The computer rankings apparently feel real strong about the Evansville Modern Day Wildcats winning sectional. In Class 1A, Sectional 48, we've got Linton Stockton with a 54.7% chance of winning sectional, with North Knox at a 25.2% chance of winning sectional. So that gives you a little breakdown of where the computers are, but you know, the great thing is computers don't play the game, so anything can happen. Let's go over the comes on. Let's go over the poll, the 4A, 3A, and 2A polls. In the AP poll, Modern Day sits at number one. Rensselaer Central 2, Triton Central 3, Lewis Cass 4, Lafayette Central Catholic 5, and then the other Southern Indiana teams in that AP poll, the Southridge Raiders sit at 6-3, and the North Posey Vikings are 14th, and Providence is 16th. Modern Day drops to number two, with Rensselaer taking the top spot. Number three, Triton Central. Number four is Lewis Cass. And number five is Lafayette Central Catholic. Southridge sits at number 10 in that poll. North Posey at 13. And Paoli at 18. In Class 3A, in the media poll, we have Andrean sitting at 9-0 at number one. Brownstown Central, number two. Fort Wayne Lures, number three. The Gibson Southern Titans at number four. Tri-West at number five. And the Heritage Hills Patriots come in at number six. Ben Sins is ninth this week. And is there any other? And Edgewood is number 16. In the coaches' poll, you've got Andrean and Brownstown in the one and two spots. Tri-West is number three. Fort Wayne Lures, number four, and the Heritage Hills Patriots cracked the top five in the coaches' poll at number five, with Gibson Southern at number eight, and the Vincennes Lincoln Alices at number 11. In Class 4A, we've got Columbus East coming in at number one, New Palestine, number two, Plymouth, number three, Chittard, number four, and Wrights, number five, Jasper, it comes in at number six. And in the coaches poll, you've got the same top four, Columbus East, New Palestine, Plymouth, and Indianapolis Chittard, but you have Jasper coming in at fifth and Evansville Wrights at sixth. So they flip-flop those two. The coaches poll feels like Jasper is ranked a little ahead of Evansville Wrights. Evansville Wrights did drop their game against Modern Day last week, 28-21, to end their season. So I'll tell you what, let's go to a commercial break, and we'll come back, and hopefully we'll have Kurt Dukes on with us to preview the Southridge versus Sullivan game. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee.
You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
They always call him Mr. Touchdown. They always call him Mr. T. He can run and kick and throw. Give him a ball and just look at it go.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. We're waiting for Kurt Gugsell to call in. He should be on the line real shortly. Let's go over tonight's local sectionals. Just a little bit about each sectional game. We've got the Silver Creek Dragons taking on the Jasper Wildcats. Silver Creek sits at 4-4 on the year. Jasper comes in at number 6. And as I said in the AP poll, number 5 in the coaches poll, they are coming in at 8-1. Just a little tidbit about the Jasper Wildcats. They have put together their first string of 4 consecutive shutouts since 1994, and that defense has been looking great, and it's peaking at the right time, and we're very excited about the Jasper Wildcat defense and what they can do in the tournament. Now, I think we have Kurt Gugsell on live with us right now. Kurt, are you with us?
Yeah, good morning.
Kurt.
Yeah, good morning.
Got it. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Now, it's Football Friday, so I'm all giddy and excited. It feels like Christmas morning when I was 10 years old.
Where's Schulteis?
Schulteis is en route to North Carolina for a wedding with our What's Hot, What's Not segment producer, Don Schulteis. So, and plus, as I said earlier in the show, it's Football Friday. Do we need him? Does he know anything about football?
Oh, he does. He does.
I mean, he thinks he knows. I mean, you know, he's an expert. You know, he went on a 20-minute talk about Ebola last week. He knows that subject too. And we don't need his non-expert opinion on football, so we just kept him away this week. So, Kurt, tonight WBDC will be broadcasting the Southford-Sullivan game. And first of all, before we get into the sectional, just tell us a little bit about how the seasons went for the Southford Traders this year.
Well, they come into tonight's game at 6-3. It's been a choppy season, of course. Everybody's talked about the Connor Craig injury ad nausea about right now, but they've just tried to, you know, get around that and try to find themselves and play good football. But I think they're disappointed in the 3 best teams that they played in Jasper, Heritage Hills, and Gibson Southern, that they haven't played well at all. I mean, just got blown out in all 3 of those games, and so that was tough, but at times they seem like they found it, and other times they've slipped back. But with that program, again, they look forward to the tournament and see what they can do when they get the sectional started. So, yeah, it's been just kind of an up-and-down deal and something that even the coaches, I don't think, have had a hand on throughout the season, and that kind of spilled over to the players. And they're hoping for better things here in the next couple of weeks. But the road's going to be tough, but it always is in 2A sectional 40 now.
You know, yeah, you did talk about the Connor Craig, and I know people have talked about it quite a bit. I still have people talk to me about it, but, you know, they have other weapons that they can rely on tonight.
Well, yeah, they do, and that's the thing that's disappointing the coaching staff, I think. If you tell everybody or you think yourself, you know, you're a good player or you're a good team, you can play. I mean, there's been down through the history of football, guys get hurt and guys have to step up and move on. Teams have to step up and move on. And if you keep on feeling sorry for yourself and not playing up to your potential, if you think you're a good player and you tell everybody you're a good player, you got to play. And I think that's what Southridge is looking for here in the tournament.
Now, Sullivan sits at 5-4 on the season. One of their wins has been over, you know, a class 1A number 6 Linton. So, and Linton's always got a nice, strong team. Tell us a little bit about the Sullivan Arrows.
Yeah, they're a pretty good team. They also beat North Knox, who is very good in 1A as well. And they've had some good football the last couple of years. They drilled South Spencer last year, and South Spencer only lost 3 games. They led Modern Day by 14 late in the second quarter last year before Modern Day came back. In their game with Sullivan, they lost a few of those guys from that team, but they still got a lot of big play capability, and they can do some things offensively. They run a little wing tee and try to get some guys on the outside. Defensively, they're very strong as well, especially on the defensive line. So to think that Southridge will go up there and just drill them with the team that they got right now, it's not going to be that easy looking at it from my perspective right now. But if they go up there and play and rely on the experience that they've had playing in their league and against good teams, I think they could have their way tonight. But it's not going to be one of those situations where you just throw it out on the field and expect it to happen. If they do, they'll be in trouble.
Yeah, it's sectional time. You got to play every game. I know that, you know, with Jasper, I hear a lot of talk about rights. I'd like for, and I don't think the players are doing this, but a lot of the fans talking about rights. That's, you know, if rights and Jasper are both lucky enough to get there, it will be a heck of a contest. But, you know, both teams got games to play before they get there.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Now, I know you have a from the bench with Scott Buning that you do every week. You know, what does Coach Buning, you know, what does he feel like the keys to winning tonight are?
Well, I think he's hoping that they, you know, come out from the start and set the tone and don't get behind the chains offensively and just have a bad start. In several games, even the games that they've won against some inferior teams, they've got off the slow starts, and he does not want that to happen tonight, and it's going to be a trip for them and their third straight road game, in fact, heading into tonight's game. And he's just wanting a good, quick start, a good, clean game as far as no mistakes, no penalties, and kind of impose their will early, especially along the lines of scrimmage. And if they can get that, I think the keys to the ball game will be simple, then they'll be able to, you know, have their way. But if they don't, if they sputter around and mess around, it could be a long night. And that's coming from him. That's just something, you know, I told you about a couple minutes ago. It's something that's coming out of their camp, that if they go up there and mess around, it could be a short playoff run for them.
Now, you know, defensively, you know, the Raiders, you know, their defensive coordinator, longtime assistant, Steve Winkler, I think the world of Coach Winkler, think he does a great job. You know, that defense is, you know, it has stumbled a little bit, but, you know, they've, for the most part, that's a nice, strong defense. And, you know, that defense starts with Brett Nordoff.
Yeah, they've got some guys in the linebacking core with Nordoff and Bryce Harder, Justin King. They've got very good run support. They're secondary, and they've had to mix and match back there. It's just been a problem, and a problem almost forever out there. And they've been torched by the passing game through several of these games. But against the run, they're pretty good, and they're always well put together under Coach Winkler. So if if they can stop that run tonight and make the Sullivan one-dimensional, then they'll be a little bit better off on the back end of that. But if they can't stop the run and then they want to mix pass and run together, that'll be tough. But I expect Southridge's defense to play well.
Now, offensively, you know, I've not really followed Southridge, you know, since Jasper's played him. I haven't been able to watch any of the games. Has the offense went through Luke Stetter, three-year starter, a little bit more since the injury, or are they sticking with what they do best?
No, not really. They've been sticking with the running game, and they've had guys, depending on which game, step up and run the football a little bit better. Through a bunch of multiple backs, nobody's going to pile up big numbers, even when Connor was there, because they do spread it around a lot. But the thing that they're missing without Connor and without some of those other guys is the ability to hit the home run. I mean, if Coach was here, I talked to him about basketball, about getting easy buckets in transition or quick hitters on offense that you can get a bucket right away. Football's kind of the same way. Without your home run hitter, without somebody that can break off a long run or get loose in the secondary on a pass play, it's tough to move the football down the field for, you know, 80 yards and put together drives. And that's one thing that they're missing. They still got a decent attack, but, the easy scores or the easy big gains or the easy third down conversions is what they are lacking offensively. But, they still try to run the ball.
Yeah, it seemed like every time I read the paper on Saturday mornings when Craig was playing, it didn't seem like he ever had any 5 or 6 yard touchdowns. They were all multiple yard touchdowns, and that big playability is missed. Kurt, before I change subjects here, what time's the game, and will people be able to tune into WBDC and listen to this game?
7 o'clock kickoff, which is good for the trip home. So we're going to start early, 6:40, the airtime with the countdown to kickoff show, WBDC 100.9 FM and WBDC.us, no matter where you are in the world. So give it a listen if you're not going to any games tonight, but we hope you go to a game somewhere.
Yeah, and for those Southridge fans traveling to the game, the word is out from Athletic Director Brett Bardwell that 257 is open now, so it might have a road closed sign there, but it is open, and people are able to jot up there to on their way there if they don't want to take an ulterior route. So, Kurt, I wanted to two other subjects I wanted to touch on with you real fast is because my nephew now is the basketball coach at Southridge, Ted O'Brien. And we're really excited for him, and just kind of wanted to get a feel for, you know, I know it is basketball season, but, you know, we're a month away from basketball season starting. And I just wanted to see what exactly is the outlook for the Raiders this year, and who do they have back on the basketball court?
Well, they've got a pretty good outlook because they do return a lot of players. I mean, they'll miss Connor Craig at the beginning of the season, but they'll have several other returning guys coming back. They'll miss Cody Thompson, obviously, and Chad O'Brien, but Cam O'Brien will be back. Harry and Henry Steckler inside, they'll be back. And Jonathan Schum, who is a wing, about 6'5", he'll be back to play. And it'll be interesting to see how Ted uses those guys and how they get their feet underneath them here in the early part of the season. But, a school like that, it's time to go. You know, it's time to play, and you can't worry about guys that have graduated or guys that have no experience. To be quite honest, they've disappointed in the tournament the last few years with good records. So, you know, if they figure it out through the first 20, that's great, and then, you know, play well in the tournament, that's what you're after. But I think with Ted, they'll be fine. They'll get their feet underneath them in the early part of the season, midway part of the season, and toward tournament time, hopefully they'll be ready to play because that's what you're after.
Now, switching to college football, back to football, I wanted to just get your feelings. I mean, last week, you know, I said earlier that on the internet there's been a lot of grumblings about Xander Diamant and the game he did. I think, personally, you got to give him some slack. That was an awfully tough game to be a true freshman and come in and play.
Yeah, with little or no prep. I mean, there's a lot of teams that start freshman quarterbacks, but they know that going into the season, and they you know, move them along, and they play the bad preseason games and get them ready to go. But to get that news you're going to play against a defense like that in the a week of the game, that's tough. And they didn't let him do very much, and they kind of scaled down the offense, and that was going to be trouble against Michigan State too. But you know, we just found out why they didn't, you know, expect him to play, because they had a good quarterback to begin with, but that's why they were redshirting him to begin with. He's not physically ready, and not for a situation like that. But that just makes what Tevin Coleman's doing all that more special, because he's running off 8 yards a carry without the benefit of a passing game. But for Diamond, the bye week comes at a great time before they go to Michigan next week, no doubt about that.
Yeah, and being a Purdue guy, I don't like defending an IU quarterback, and I've had to defend him this week. You know, I've had to tell people he was put into a tough situation that he might not have been ready for, and, you know, you just got to give him some slack, and, you know, and heck, his dad's a soap opera star, so, you know, what else ask for?
Yeah, one of my favorites too. So evidently he was at a game and they showed him a lot. So
yeah, they did.
But
hopefully, quite a bit.
Hopefully it'll get better for them. But it's going to be tough playing without a good quarterback the rest of the way for the Hoosiers.
Touching on the other two Indiana schools that came out with big losses last week, I did not get to see it, but I've heard about it and read about it on Facebook. I think that's all I had Saturday and Sunday on my Facebook page. Was the we'll call it the pick play. People, all kinds of Notre Dame people, mad it was called.
Well, those people should be the last ones to complain, because they get every call in every game, no matter when they play. So whether it was a good call or bad call, you know, depending on who you root for, that's what you say. But I don't want to hear it out of them. But it was a tough way to, you know, lose the game when you think you had it won. Florida State got hot in the second half. Now, I'm not so sure Notre Dame wasn't the better team throughout the game. But Florida State got hot in the second half, and Winston got hot in the second half and was able to lead them to victory. But, the play was out in the middle of the field where everybody was focused on it. You know, you hold somebody, you do something away from the play or inside the line of scrimmage, usually get away with that. But the official was looking right at it, and it looked weird to begin with. And Brian Kelly said they blew the coverage. And, that's what he was going to say. But it was a tough way for Notre Dame to lose that game. But even guys like Lou Holtz and some of the Notre Dame slappies said it was a good call.
Switching to the Purdue game, which I hate to talk about, Purdue led virtually the whole game until the end. And were you able to catch the end of that game and see the ending of it? Taylor Richards, they stop him on third down, and across the field he decides that he has to show how masculine he is, and he cheap shots a guy, and a personal foul is called. And instead of punting, the drive continues. And they kicked the game-winning field goal instead of punting, and possibly Purdue getting two or three first downs and ending the game.
Well, that was set up for a good win for Purdue. I mean, if they could get that ball game, and you can't lose in any more heartbreaking fashion, which they did. But that would have been a nice a game for Purdue to get, and it had to just kill them not to come away victorious against Minnesota in that one. That was heartbreaking for them.
Yeah, that call was terrible. Well, it wasn't terrible. That call was legitimate, but the offense for against Michigan State, they looked good through two quarters. In quarter three and half of quarter four, they didn't look very good, and then came back on quarter four. But the offense just did not do a thing in the second half, other than a long run. Other than that, there virtually was nothing.
Well, it's the same old story with Purdue or any of these teams that aren't very good, high school, college, NFL. If you don't have a quarterback that can play, you're not going to be any good. And that's got to be first and foremost for any operation in football, is to find yourself a quarterback. because if you can't get a quarterback, you can't recruit one, you can't develop one, you're going to be in a bad – the way the game is now, you got to have somebody to run the controls. And Purdue, for the longest time, has not had a guy that can play quarterback. And until they get one, it's going to be an uphill battle. And I'm sure the Purdue fans, know, like yourself and the rest of them, they know that. So until they get consistent quarterback play or find one, it's going to be tough.
And, Kurt, lastly, I would touch on the pro ranks, but – with the Bengal game last week, I'm trying to forget that the NFL even exists.
Well, again, there you go with Andy Dalton. He's played well at times, but he couldn't do anything. They were one of 14 on third down the other day. And part of his problem or his deal is they're so injured on the outside with their receivers, with their tight ends. It's probably not all Andy Dalton's fault. I know he takes a beating. If there's traffic outside the stadium at a Bengals game, he takes the hit for it or takes a beating for it. So it's not all on him. But, again, in those situations, he's got to play a little bit better and lift everybody else up. But they're an injured football team, and it's not the same team that started the season undefeated.
Okay, well, Kurt, thanks for being with us. Before I let you go, let our listeners know one more time where they can catch you tonight.
All right, Southridge Sullivan from beautiful Sportland Field in Sullivan, 6:40 tonight. For the pregame, and 7 o'clock is the kickoff on WBDC 100.9 FM.
Well, Kurt, thanks for being with us, and hopefully we'll be talking to you next week to preview Southridge's next game.
No problem.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to have WJTS's Craig Schneider in to talk some Jasper football. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is John Goldsberry, former Boilermaker and Buffalo Bill, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we're just giddy here. It's Football Friday. First Friday of the football sectionals in here in Indiana, and a great time, going to be a beautiful day. And I'll tell you what, tomorrow morning you can wake up and relive this Jasper game with Craig Schneider and Mike Blessinger on WJTS. And we've got Craig Schneider with us right now to preview the tonight's game. Craig, are you as excited as I am to get sectional going?
Absolutely. Joe, how are you doing today?
Doing great, just excited, ready to get tailgating started and get ready to go to the game.
That's right. Actually, I think some of the tailgate festivities will be underway. Oh, I'd say people will be out there around 4:30, 5 o'clock and all that. So hopefully everybody enjoys the pregame festivities and all that, and, of course, gets into the stadium at Jerry Brewer Alumni Stadium and enjoys this matchup between Jasper and Silver Creek. First time these two teams have played each other.
Yeah, you know, brand new opponent, you know, and it's always exciting. And if I'm not mistaken, Silver Creek has not had football all that long, have they?
No, actually, this is just their fourth season, and they're actually coached by Jason Hawkins, who is in his first year at the school. However, he had a lot of success at Charlestown. I think he was there for about 7 years prior to going to Silver Creek, and I mean, he had some really outstanding seasons with Charlestown, where he went 10-1 in 2007. He was 12-1 just a couple of years ago and won the sectional in 2012. So they've got things going in the right direction. They actually finished fourth in their conference, the Mid-Southern Conference, which is an 8-team conference that includes like Brownstown Central, Charlestown, Corydon Central, Salem, Clarksville, North Harrison, and Eastern. And, you know, again, just in their fourth year you know, to finish 4-3 in that conference, I think is quite an accomplishment whenever you got good quality teams and powers like Brownstown Central and Charlestown and Oregon Central. So, you know, this is a team that's got some really skilled players. And you know, I mean, I expect the Wildcats to take care of business tonight, but this is a team that's got some players on it.
Now, before we get started on a little more on Silver Creek, you know, we have a lot of listeners Jasper, we have a lot of listeners elsewhere, and you know, just kind of break down the Jasper season to this point.
Well, of course, you know, Jasper finished the season 8-1, and they actually tied for a share of the Big 8 Conference with Vincennes, Lincoln, and Mount Carmel. And their only loss coming to Vincennes, Lincoln, which was an overtime loss back on September 9th, where they lost that game 35-34 in overtime. And but Jasper is actually on quite a defensive roll right now. Their last three games, they've you know, recorded shutouts. The biggest, of course, was against Mount Carmel, where they beat them 47-0 at home, and then took care of business against Washington 36-0 on a rain-soaked Friday night. And then just last week knocked off what I thought was a pretty good Mount Vernon team. To beat them 35-0, I think, is quite an accomplishment. Now, Mount Vernon did have one drive that, you know, they basically marched down the field about 80 yards that stalled at the 5-yard line, and it was an outstanding defensive play by Aaron Farr to knock the ball away on a fourth down pass for the Wildcats to keep that shutout intact. But you know, overall, you know, the Jasper Wildcats have pretty well you know, controlled their own destiny whenever it came to playing on Friday nights. You know, it's a team that averages 40 points a game, so offensively we're very, very solid. So, you know, anyone that's outside the area that doesn't know much about Jasper, you know, Jasper is one of those teams that's very well balanced. When you talk about their abilities as far as passing the ball, they've got great receivers, and then, of course, always a solid running game. You know, they're led in the running attack by Ben Moore, who is a 2-year starter at the tailback spot. Last year, late in the season, had some injuries that kind of kept him from rushing for 1,000 yards. But this year, he's got 151 carries for 1,083 yards and 14 touchdowns. But, you know, they've got some other guys that they can put back here in the backfield. Luke Sommersheim, he's had a number of carries, 77 carries for 436 yards and 4 touchdowns. And then Ian Songer has primarily been the fullback for the Wildcats this year. However, he was injured last week, and I know he practiced a little bit this week, so I'll be curious to see how many carries he gets and how often he plays tonight. So that's one big question mark. But one other player that primarily plays defense, a linebacker, is Tate Blessinger. And, you know, Tate's just a very versatile football player where he does an outstanding job from his linebacker spot on defense, but he's got the ability to run the football as well. You know, last week against Mount Vernon, he had a nice game where he scored a couple touchdowns. He had a 5-yard run in the first quarter and then a 31-yard run in the third quarter, both those for scores. So, you know, offensively, the Cats are really, really solid with running the ball. You know, their quarterback is Nolan Ahrens, and he pretty well owns all the passing records now when it comes to career passing records, season passing records, touchdowns, all of that. And he's just been outstanding this year. He's passed for 1,386 yards and 17 touchdowns with only one interception. So he has just been incredibly accurate and very smart and careful with that football. And his number one target, of course, is Austin Hollis, the tight end, who's just really been on a roll lately. Last week, he had 8 receptions against Mount Vernon for 107 yards, and that puts his total at 40 receptions for 484 yards and 7 touchdowns. But, Joe, coming into this football game, you know, of course, he spread it out to other receivers as far as, like, you know, Ben Moore catches the ball. They'll even split him out. So when, you know, his 12 receptions mostly come from a wide-out spot as opposed to just, you know, passes out of the backfield. He's also got Hunter Gossett that he throws to. But one player that's, you know, second in receiving, Cody Jacob, who started out on fire this year. You know, he had 22 catches I believe, in the first six or seven games. But he's actually not had a catch since the Princeton game. So I'm really looking for him to kind of get back on track. But one other player that offensively has been contributing quite a bit has been Grant Teal, who's also primarily a defensive corner. But he's been doing a great job, you know, catching the football. He had actually let's see here. Last week, I know he had one catch. Looking at his receiving numbers, yeah, he had one catch for 36 yards last week. So, you know, the Wildcats just have a number of weapons offensively. So, you know, I'm sure that Silver Creek defensively is going to have their hands full when they face the Cats tonight.
Yeah, you know, a couple of the people you brought up, you know, really stick out to me. You know, Kate Blessinger, it seems like he has a nose for the end zone, and you got to love someone who has a nose for the end zone. You know, he always runs hard. You know you're going to get positive yardage whenever he's got the ball. He gets the tough yard sometimes. You know, he does a nice job. You said Nolan Aarons. I mean, you know, when you can have a quarterback that's thrown one interception all season, you've got to feel very confident that you can put the ball in the air a little bit more because he's a senior. He's he's going to do the smart thing. And that just adds so much to a defense, an offense. But, you know, Max Prep has plays of the week. And I really, really, and I never got around to doing it, I would love to off your broadcast, take that one catch by Aulis last week. He's always had spectacular catches, but there was one last week, then that into Max Prep. It's got to be
a top
play.
That was a phenomenal play. It was actually a 28-yard pass from Aarons early in the third quarter, and that was one where he just threw it across the middle. And in fact, it was a pass interference call that was thrown on that play, but he was still able to kind of wrap his arm around the defender that had the coverage on him and actually interfered with him and haul that thing in. So you're right. That was a great catch there. And, of course, you know, a nice ball thrown by Aarons. But I'll tell you another play, too, was when Aulis, he caught a 9-yard pass from Aarons, and it was one where they were throwing it out in the flat. Just, you know, he actually caught it in the end zone, but running what we call our 7 pattern. He was, you know, pretty well covered, but the ball had to be placed in a certain spot, and Aarons just lofted the ball high, and it just came right down into his hands. So, you know, those two have been, you know, playing pitch and catch with each other probably since their middle school years. I know I've been watching them since they were freshmen, and, you know, again, it's just a joy to see those two just really on target, you know, especially late here in the season coming into the playoffs. So, you know, I'm really excited to see what they can continue to do, hopefully in these next few weeks.
Okay, Silver Creek, you know, reading what I've read about him, seems like the name Cameron Cook comes up a lot. 50 catches for 987 yards, 170 yards rushing, kicking PATs, one of the leaders on tackles, one of the outfielders on the Silver Creek baseball team that's done real well. Give us a little breakdown on Silver Creek.
Yeah, Silver Creek's a football team. Like I said, they're 4-4 on the season and coached by Jason Hawkins. You know, and they're a football team that they like to spread it out. Their quarterback is Jake Metters, and he's had a really good season statistically as far as his numbers. I mean, he has thrown for 1,529 yards and 13 touchdowns. However, he's had some problems in the last couple weeks. They've had losses against Brownstown Central and against Lawrenceburg. Last week they lost to Lawrenceburg 42-28. And in that particular game, it seemed like whenever he was facing a little bit of pressure, you know, he kind of threw some risky balls. He did throw a pick six that was returned 37 yards for a touchdown, and so he had two interceptions on the game and one lost fumble. But I'll tell you what, you look at his season, I mean, he had some phenomenal games against Corydon Central, passed for 212 yards. Against Eastern, he was 10 of 16 for 288 yards and 4 touchdowns, and then he also had a couple more 200-yard games, one against Charlestown for 218 yards, and then Brownstown Central. He was just 11 of 25 in that game, but still, when he connected, they were big because he passed for 216 yards there. And even against Lawrenceburg, you know, just under 200 yards with 196 there. But, you know, so they've got a really solid passing game. And you mentioned Cameron Cook. There's no question about it. I mean, he is the guy that Jasper's going to have to key in on. I mean, he's one of those players that's very versatile. Kind of reminds me of like a a Grant Thiel. I mean, he's throwing himself all over the place defensively. He leads their team in tackles. I think he's got over 55 tackles on the season, and he leads them in interceptions. But offensively, look for him. They actually, in the last couple weeks, I've noticed that they've been putting him in the quarterback spot mainly to run the football. I've not really seen him throw any passes, but, when he runs the football, he's been very effective. Last week against Lawrenceburg, he had 14 carries for 92 yards and a touchdown, and a couple nice runs, one of 24 yards and another one of 16 yards. And then against North Harrison, he actually had a long run of 34 yards. But when he comes in, again, they're going to run that read option, and for the most part, he holds on to the ball because he's going to get those carries when he's in that quarterback spot. But receiving-wise, he is Metter's primary target because, he's got 50 catches on the year for 987 yards and 11 touchdowns, and just some huge games that he's had. He had one against Eastern where he had three touchdown receptions for four catches, 201 yards, and three touchdowns. And one of them went for 94 yards there. And then against Brownstown Central, eight catches for 197 yards and a touchdown. And a win over Salem earlier this year. That was a game in which Jake Metters was 9 of 14 for 143 yards and a touchdown. Well, caught all those passes. All nine catches were caught by Cameron Cook. He had nine catches for the 143 yards and the touchdown. So, offensively, that's their passing game. However, they've got actually a really nice fullback that they'll give the ball to, and his name is Jason Gent. He's ran for 864 yards and 11 touchdowns, and his biggest game of the year was against Clarksville, where he had 29 carries for 169 yards and three scores. So he's the kind of kid that, he's even had one game against Brownstown Central where he carried the ball 32 times. So they will put the ball into, his pocket and let him carry it as well. So, this is just a football team offensively that's got some weapons and some really good players. So, I know the Wildcat defense is rolling right now, but, they're going to have their hands full when it comes to, what Silver Creek likes to do offensively.
Now, Craig, you've watched Aaron's and Aulis since freshman year, and you did that because you're a freshman coach. Why don't you give us a little pub for the freshman team, how they did this year, and who are some of the people you're expecting to contribute majorly on the varsity level in years to come?
Well, the freshman team, they actually finished the season 4-3-1. As far as our final game, we actually knocked off Southridge in a real close football game, won that game 19-17. And it was actually a game that was scheduled to be played at Jasper, but we ended up playing over at Southridge just because we had kind of some wet field conditions at the time. So we moved the game over to Southridge. As far as the football team, we scored some really big wins. I mean, we knocked off Vincennes, we beat Boonville, we beat Southridge. It's a team that was kind of a little bit of a roller coaster ride, and we had a tough one against Castle, and our tie was against Harrison that actually got cut short in that football game by Lightning, and it was a 6-6 score in the third quarter, so we didn't get a chance to finish that one out. But, looking at some of the players that played well for us this year, Justin Pearson was the quarterback, and so he had a nice year, and his primary target passing the ball was to Jacob Lentz. And so, Lentz, he had quite a year this year as far as just his versatility. He's one of those players that, he'll play a little bit of quarterback when needed. He mostly played wide receiver, got some runs on jet sweeps. He's a really good defensive player. I think he led us in interceptions this year, playing both the corner and safety spot, and, even threw a touchdown pass this year. So Jacob Lentz is a really nice, versatile player offensively and defensively. So I'm looking forward to see what he can do in future years for Jasper. And then, running back, we actually, Logan Niehaus, he played fullback, and he had some nice runs this year, just from that fullback spot. Kind of reminds me of what Ian Songer can do. And then, it's just a football team that – that I they got some size on the offensive line, so you know some of those guys can continue to develop. Defensively, just had some work to do defensively, to improve. But, the thing is with freshman football, for the most part, is that, these are the kind of kids that what we're trying to get them prepared for is eventually playing on Friday night. So, a lot of the things that the Wildcats do defensively, like new assignments and stunts and different, setups, what to do and goal line situations and all that, those are the types of things that, we really try to stress and teach to them at the freshman level. So, Coach Chris Tucker, he's been coaching the freshman team for a number of years, and Coach Jared Land, they just do an outstanding job of getting these guys prepared so that they pretty well know what they need to do when it comes to, playing football on Friday nights eventually.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing you moved that game to Southridge, because our eighth grade game, we couldn't move it over to Southridge because we had a big family cookout after the game that was planned. And the eighth grade game was, and seventh grade games last Saturday were mud bowls. And it was a 6-0 win for Jasper's seventh and eighth grade, I think, both won by that score. But it was one of those deals where the field affected the game so much you hated it, because people couldn't do what you wanted to do.
Right. Oh, yeah, I agree. And, and the nice thing about that is that, it kind of equalizes the playing field. I know Jasper is looking into potentially putting turf in and, maybe the year next year or so, and things are in the works there. And, that's been publicized and all that. But, I just think that whenever you get in situations where, you could be playing on a muddy field or sloppy conditions, and, that's going to affect, a number of things as far as, handling the football and all that. But, it just tends to kind of equalize things so that, really the game's played and, the two teams that are playing against each other are basically, you're going to get their best out of them, as opposed to having to worry about, well, if we're a passing game, we can't really throw the ball. If we're a running team, are we going to be able to, hang on to the ball with it getting stripped and all that? But, one other player I wanted to mention on the freshman team that I did not was Sam DeWitt. Look for him in the future. He is one of those kids that, really came on as a tailback for Jasper. There was one game, I think it was against Gibson Southern, where, we got pushed back and we were on the 2-yard line, and he just took that thing 98 yards for a touchdown. And he had some other nice touchdown runs of like 40 and 50 yards and all that. But he's also a kid that just gives it all defensively too. So, Sam DeWitt is just one outstanding football player on this freshman team. And then also Ryan Ewing, he's a kid that just loves the game, and especially on the defensive side. He mostly played middle linebacker for us this year. And there's some really good kids. Hunter McCune, he had an injury late in the season, so he's a big kid that is going to help out the team. And, there's a lot of really good football players, even though, we finished 4-3-1 this year. That doesn't say anything about what these guys are going to do in the future.
Well, Craig, thanks for being with us. Let our listeners know where they can catch you and Mike on the TV tomorrow morning.
All right. Well, of course, we're on 18 WJTS, Jasper's local television station, and you can catch us. We're typically – if you have Time Warner Cable, we're on Channel 7, and then there's a couple other channels out there. I don't know exactly what they are, but we are on at 10 a.m. Saturday morning, and then we'll replay the game at 7 p.m. Sunday evening. So if you can't catch it Saturday, you can catch it Sunday evening at 7 o'clock.
Well, Craig, thanks for being with us, and we hope to talk to you in the future about future Jasper sectional opponents.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, Joe.
Okay, and when we come back, we'll be joined by WAXL's play-by-play man, Steve Kolb. We'll be previewing Heritage Hills versus Vincennes and South Spencer. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Ubelar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories, and they're all priced to sell. Some are certified, and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe. I'm coachless this week. I'm the coach. This is Coach Joe, and Coach K is napping or something right now. I'm not quite sure where he's at. No, I know where he's at. But he's not here today, so I get to do all the talking, which is a good thing and bad thing. But then again, it is Football Friday, first week of the football sectional, so we didn't need him here this week. I can handle it. And also another guy who can handle it is Steve Kolb. And Steve is here to talk to us about Heritage Hills and South Spencer's sectional openers. And first up, Steve, we have the Alices and the Patriots, one of the best games, I think, in the state on opening night.
Yeah, Joe, I'd agree. A pair of 8-1 teams having remarkable bounce-back seasons because, remember, both of these teams are coming off 2-8 campaigns a year ago. So both turned it around in a hurry, and Heritage Hills, with their first PAC title in 4 years, I wrapped that up last Friday with the win in the county rivalry game against South Spencer. So it's been a remarkable turnaround for both the Patriots and the Alices, and should be a heck of a football game tonight at the Jungle.
Yeah, it's just as you said, the turnaround that both teams have had have been just nothing short of miraculous, because you don't expect those 2-8 teams to bounce back the way they have.
Yeah, and it's a lot of the same personnel, a big senior class on both teams. But I think for Heritage Hills, it is the senior class that deserves and gets a lot of the credit for the turnaround. This is it's a very good class. They're a very tight-knit unit, and they're football guys. And I've talked with Coach Wilkerson about it in our pregame interview a number of times. And those guys, particularly the seniors, took what happened last year very personally, and they put the work in the offseason. Not to say that work hadn't been put in previously, it had, but there was extra dedication to it in this past offseason, and they got better, and they got healthier, which is a big thing, because that was a big problem a season ago, was keeping guys healthy, and they've been fairly healthy this year. Kenton Cruz missed a couple of games early. Andrew Bell, who they expected huge things from in the running back position, missed almost the entire regular season. He came back and played some defensive snaps last week, coming back off a knee injury. So they're about as healthy now, I think, as they've been all year long, and it's been a pretty good year for them from a health standpoint. So, it's been a big key to that turnaround, is that senior class and what they've meant, because they, there's every one of those guys has improved and taking it upon themselves to pull that program back up to where they feel it needs to be.
Yeah, early on in the season, the Patriots were rolling along, doing a nice job. I think it was through the Jasper game. And that was totally impressive, because, if you take someone with the talent of Kenton Cruz off the field form like you have, I mean, that speaks volumes for the depth they have.
Well, yeah, they were heading into that Jasper week, that's week number 4 of the regular season, Heritage Hills was 3-0, but in their next 4 games, they had at Jasper, home with North Posey, at Gibson Southern, and at Southridge. And that was a huge 4-game stretch. And I know I was one that thought, if you can get at least one win out of those 4, because quite frankly, in the first 3 games, while they looked good, they hadn't really played any world beaters. I think Mount Vernon is much improved now from where they were then. You can see the talent they had even in that first game against Heritage Hills, but I don't think they quite were where they are now. So my point being, Heritage Hills really was an unproven team coming into that Jasper game, even without Kenton Cruz. But to come through that stretch of four games against those teams, 3-1, and the one win without Kenton Cruz on the road at Jasper and had a chance to win that football game, had a touchdown called back by a penalty in that one that might have turned the tide, would have put the Patriots ahead late in the fourth quarter and might have turned the tide, although I would have loved to have seen how Jasper would have responded being down after that, because they certainly were capable of coming down and getting a winning score themselves, but it didn't work out that way. But for Heritage Hills to come through that stretch 3-1 was huge, and they changed some things up, Joe, in that time. That they went into that road game at Gibson Southern, against the Titan program that was just flying as high as you can fly and blowing everybody out for the second or third consecutive year, and changed things up and went five wide receiver empty backfield shotgun most of the game, almost the entire game, and it worked. And while they were using elements of the spread, I think I'm talking with Coach Wilkerson, they were I'm not sure surprise is the right word, but maybe pleased with how well that worked against Gibson Southern. I think they thought that was something they had to do to compete against Gibson Southern, and it worked, and it worked well, and they've continued to use that at times, as well as their one back set where they motion another running back into the backfield, and they use a lot of deception and those two elements, the five wide receiver set and motioning that running back into the backfield, has been big for this Patriot offense, and the Patriot defense has been huge all season long. And combine those two things, and you end up with an 8-1 regular season.
Yeah, you talk about changing things up to for a game. The Alices have done just that, but they've done it for the whole season. I think their coach decided our traditional Vincennes offense isn't going to work. They went to more of a read option, and I'll tell you what, I got to see Brent Nowowski in the Jasper game, and to be a converted running back going to quarterback, he ran it with perfection.
Right, and he's got weapons around him, which always helps. You got Tywan Hawkins at running back, 6'1", 200 pounds, and extremely fast. Makes the defense really have to be disciplined, because, as you mentioned, you've got a quarterback, essentially a running back at quarterback, and they still have some other guys on the outside that can catch the ball as well. So, they make it tough on a defense, which is what Heritage Hills is trying to do as well. And, with the weather improving from where we've been the last couple of weeks and the field hopefully drying out from where it's been, because even though last Friday against South Spencer, even though it was a night with no rain, it was still a sloppy track at Heritage Hills last week and affected that game some, I thought. So a week removed from that with very little rain, hopefully the field has dried up enough, and we may see an offensive explosion tonight, two offenses that can really get the ball up and down the field.
Yeah, you've got a great game to go call tonight. It's going to be an exciting game. I mean, you've got Heritage Hills at number 6 in AP and Vincennes Lincoln at number 9 and Coach's Poll number 5 and Lincoln coming in at number 11 on the coaches poll, and it's going to be a great game. I mean, I sit here sometimes I think, God, the blind draw is the way you got to go, but boy, I don't know if there's a good way to seed it either, though. But the winner gets to take on you're calling the battle of the 8-1s, and they get to take on the winner of the battle of the 1-8, Evans Obasi and Pike Central. So it's a great matchup to have in week one. For some reason, Steve, I just looking at these two teams, I'm leaning towards picking Heritage Hills.
Well, it's hard for me to say. I haven't seen Vincennes on film. I don't even have their stats in my hands yet. I'm hoping to get those at some point today. But I think this is an extremely talented Vincennes football team. But there is something about this Heritage Hills team and their ability to put athletes in a five wide receiver set, the ability to put height, leaping ability, and athletic ability and speed on that perimeter that a lot of teams don't have in this part of the state is a big weapon. And if they can get a fairly workable track tonight at the jungle and get those guys involved, and you've got 6'3" Sam Collins, who looks like a tight end but plays like can play like a wide receiver and can outleap anybody. And then you've got 6'4" Caleb Sablehouse, and then 6'1" Kenton Cruz, who's as fast as anybody you'll find around. And you start with those three guys, and then you can put two or three other very very solid receivers around them. It's very hard for other teams to match up with, and I think Heritage Hills will have to get the ball in those guys' hands tonight, and as well as Sean Schaefer, who has done a tremendous job stepping in at running back after Bell was lost right before the start of the season, and he's been very versatile as a running back and a receiver and playing in the defensive backfield as well. So they'll need to spread the ball around to those guys and let them do what they do. And defensively, this is the Heritage Hills football team that has been very good on the defensive side, and I would expect I expect them to step up to the challenge tonight. I think it's going to be one of the toughest offenses they faced all year, but I from what they've done, the way they stood up against both Gibson Southern and Jasper in those games in particular on defense, I expect them to step up to the challenge again tonight, and I'm expecting a heck of a football game again tonight at the Jungle.
Well, Steve, I don't have to be as politically correct as you, because you're the play-by-play man. I'm picking Heritage Hills. They're going to play with the spirit of John Goldsberry, and Kenton Cruz is going to have a humongous game. That's what I'm calling right now.
All right. Well, I like it. Let's put it that way, Joe. I like it.
And that's just not because Cruzy and I are Facebook friends and buddies. So I'm legitimately picking it. So.
Well, it sounds good to me.
Okay. Steve, going to let's touch on South Spencer briefly here. I know you won't be at the game, but you do call South Spencer games, and they'll be taking North Posey on tonight at North Posey. And just give me a little preview of that game and what you expect to see there.
Well, I think it'll be another very good football game. It's a good North Posey team. James Marshall runs that show at quarterback, and he's been he's very good. He's a dual threat quarterback. He can beat you running, and he can beat you throwing the football. So, he's got some guys around him as well that help make that offense go. But this is a South Spencer team that has improved considerably. They play an extremely front end loaded schedule. A lot of their tough games are very early on. And they were banged up early in the season. They didn't have their senior running back, Jake Burden, at that point, and trying to fill in around those guys. And it hurt them. I think it hurt them on both offense and defense. But since they've gotten those guys back, I think they're playing much better. And defensively, I thought their performance against Heritage Hills last week was maybe their best of the season. And bodes well for them in the sectional, because – that was, to be real honest about it, that was my question for them coming into last week, was where they were at defensively. I knew they had improved offensively, but I wondered how they'd be able to stack up against the Heritage Hills offense. And while I'm not sure that was Heritage Hills' best effort by a long shot, I think a lot of that was due to the South Spencer defense. And Coach Wilkerson praised the Rebel coaching staff after the game, because they always put a tremendous game plan together for Heritage Hills in that rivalry game, and their guys executed it very well. So South Spencer will need to be consistent offensively. They need some good plays from that passing game. They have very big play capabilities with Isaiah Stokes outside. He's returned four kicks for a touchdown this season and has numerous long touchdown runs and catches, and they need to get him involved and they've been creative at ways of getting him involved. But they've got Tyler Snyder on the outside as well as a very good receiver, and Burton in the backfield, and Trevor Lehrer, their quarterback, has gotten better and better as the season has gone along, and he's a dual threat guy. So offensively, they just need to be steady and be consistent, no big turnovers. And I think, and I know that Sal Spencer was excited with this draw. They were excited to get another crack at the Vikings. They know how good North Posey is, but they think they're better than the team that went over, that lost to North Posey 26-6 in the season opener back in August.
Now, Steve, I might be catching you off guard here. I forgot to touch base with Kurt Gooksell and you being following PAC football. I wanted to touch just briefly. Coach Foose and his Forest Park Rangers have been given a very daunting task tonight, taking on the Evansville Modern Day Wild.
Joe, I lost you. Are you there? Joe, I seem to have lost. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm not hearing anything. I don't know if you still have me on or not.
You were on. Steve, everyone heard you. My call got dropped. I was hoping you talked long enough for me to make it back before you realized that. So I'll tell you what, before we let you go, and we fully plan on using your expertise during the football sectional here, and tell everybody where they can listen to Steve Kolb and Michael Cruz tonight and the Heritage Hills Vincennes game.
We will have Heritage Hills and Vincennes tonight. Kickoff is at 7 o'clock Central at Patriot Field, the Jungle in Lincoln City, and you can catch us at 103.3 FM, 103.3 The Fix, WAXL, and we're available worldwide online. Just go to 103.3thefix.com and click on the Listen Live button, and you can hear us anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world, they can catch one of the best games in the state tonight. So, Steve, thanks for joining us.
Joe, my pleasure.
When we come back, we'll do a few little housekeeping things before we end this abbreviated edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. We'll go to break right now. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. We're going to end this one early. Joe's by himself. Coach K isn't here, and, you know, he has enough to talk about for a good 4 hours. I don't. We got the football sectionals, though. Wanted to go over what we've got locally tonight. We've got Sober Creek at 4-4 taking on Jasper 8-1. You can hear that on WITZ 104.7, or you can log on, search for WITZ AM/FM on the internet and listen to that one live. We've got Southard Raiders 6-3 at Sullivan 5-4, and you can listen to that one on WBDC. And also search for WBDC on the internet, and you'll be able to listen live on the internet. We've got Ross Boos's Forest Park Rangers at 1-8 taking on the 2A number 1 Evansville Modern Day Wildcats at 9-0. And lastly, we've got the 3A number 9 Vincennes Lincoln at 8-1 traveling to the jungle to take on the number 6 Heritage Hills Patriots at 8-1. As I end the show, I'm going to end it like I always do. You know, go to a high school sporting event. You've got volleyball sectionals. You've got football sectionals this week. And there's no reason not to take your family out and support your local team for the money that you're spending. You just can't find better entertainment. So for a Coach K who's on his way to North Carolina, this is Joe saying, we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.